This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. Trying to make sure the voice holds up through the final hour. And we are going to get to things like the war on the drug cartels, the superior flavor of chicken wings, the crappiest country in the world tournament. Someone has questions about that. All that, older, meaner communists, and so much more coming up in the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I did get this one because I was coughing into the mic the whole show yesterday and losing my voice. I'm here. I'm drinking tea. It's called Throat Coat Tea, so I have to endure Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey's insults as I have some tea, trying to get through it. This guy says... the subject is your current infirmity. Mr. Kelly, first, stop eating. Okay, well, that's not going to happen. Second, take an herbal laxative tonight. In the morning, a mug of coffee and a bowel movement, and maybe you'll be fine. Buddy, I'm no medical expert, but I don't think you can poop out a cold. I'm 99% sure that that is not actual medicine at all. He said, let that mug of coffee carry you for the rest of the day. Avoid food, fast, and all that other stuff. You know what? I already know about fasting, okay? I know all there is to know about fasting. I've been fasting since lunch. Since lunch, I have had nothing but a couple sticks of beef jerky, two handfuls of Skittles, and some Throat Coat tea. I am famished. And I understand the benefits my body's going through right now. And yes, Chris, we do need some more cheese balls. It's been a while since we had them. Hey, Jesse, what do you think of Trump's burgeoning? Chris, that's a good word, burgeoning. I'm going to use that word. Burgeoning global war on drug cartels. Do you think it will end the same way the GWAT did? Well, wars are funny things. And the truth is that you can't get to the bottom, the real root cause of our drug problem with killing people. It helps. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about what he's doing. I'm not. But the root of our drug problem in the United States of America is not the drug cartels. And it is not China. The root of our drug problem is we love drugs as a country. We love them. The cartels are bad, evil, criminal people who have found a market. You know, all criminals, all these criminals, you know, from the Italian mafia to whatever, they have found customers, they've found a market. That's how they make money. Drug cartels have discovered correctly that the United States, here in the United States of America, there is a desire for slaves, as there has always been a desire for slaves. And there is a desire for drugs. People want slaves. People they own. You can make them do whatever you want. People always have. People always will. And people want drugs. And so that is a market the drug cartels have chosen to dip their toe in. And they've made a fortune doing it. Now, yes, I realize we're talking about soulless evil demons who kill and torture people and things like that. This is in no way a defense of drug cartels, but you can sit and drop bombs on drug cartels for the next 4, 8, 12 years, however long we have the White House. You can kill scores and scores and scores of them. You can go after their manufacturers. You can do a lot of very good things. By the way, things you should do. I'm not complaining. Things you should do. And that will drive up the cost of drugs and things like that. But none of that takes care of the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is Americans love drugs. We are a fabulously wealthy country, contrary to what you may hear. We have ridiculous amounts of money compared to other parts of the world. And like many wealthy countries throughout history, we want to spend some of our extra cash we have laying around on things that get people high, or whatever kind of drug you happen to be doing, hallucinating. I don't know. That's not my particular area. You know where they don't struggle with drugs? On one of these crappiest country in the world lists where people live on a dollar a day. You're not worried about getting high. You're trying not to die of diarrhea. That is your entire life. Here in America, we don't have those concerns. Boredom, wealth has brought about a love of drugs. Now, that said, where is the drug cartel war going to go for Trump? Well, Trump has something he wants, and he has actually handled Iran so far in this exact same way, the way he's handled the drug cartels. Trump is not a boots-on-the-ground guy. Trump is not a go-to-war-everywhere-all-the-time guy. He has a very different view of foreign policy, and actually I like his view of foreign policy very much. But he understands there are times when you're going to have to project power somewhere else. So, for instance, Iran, he wanted to stop their nuclear reactors, their nuclear facilities. Well, I mean, you can send in the Marines, or you can coordinate with Israel, have Israel take out their anti-air defenses for you, which they did with our help. And then you can simply fly over some long-range bombers, drop a bomb down what is essentially the chimney, nuke the daggone thing, and then fly back home, and you've lost nobody. And frankly, you haven't really risked anybody. You went, you dropped some bombs, you went home, and now Iran is completely crippled. That is a fine way to do things. You know, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth just put out another video. We just nuked another drug boat that was on its way. Okay, all these are fine. All these are good, but they're not taking care of the problem. Do you want to hurt these people, or do you actually, yeah, you're right. Sorry, Chris, Secretary of War. I got to get used to that. And I love that, Secretary of War. Do you want to hurt these people, or do you want to completely eradicate and defeat these people? Those are two very, very, very different things. You remember the conversation we had when they first started talking, the Trump administration, when they first started talking about the drug cartels? They were saying things like wipe them from the face of the earth, eradicate them, using language like that. Here is the problem, as I talked about on the radio. That's not possible, probably at all, but it's definitely not possible without boots on the ground going town to town in Mexico, intelligence operations, intense urban warfare, guerrilla warfare. It's not possible to do that, to eradicate the drug cartels without being hands-on. You cannot drone strike your way into eradicating the drug cartels because they are intertwined in their communities in Mexico. In a lot of communities, they are the community. They are the government. They pave the roads. They build the schools. I know that's crazy. That's the way it is. In parts of Medellin, Colombia, Pablo Escobar is celebrated to this day for the soccer fields he built and churches and schools. I know it's a weird world, but it is the world in which we live. So where do I see this going? It depends on what I choose to believe. If the Trump administration truly wants to eradicate the drug cartels, by the way, they're not idiots. They know everything I just said. If they want to actually eradicate the drug cartels, it's going to involve the United States military invading Mexico. Period. It is. If that's not what Trump wants, and I very much doubt that's what Trump wants, that does not align with his foreign policy at all. If it's not what Trump wants, then the goal is not necessarily to eradicate the cartels. It's to hurt them. Hurt them very badly. Keep arresting, keep killing their leadership, I suspect, is our plan. Arrest, kill their leadership. Keep nuking these drug boats, making life difficult for them. All this stuff, the result of all of this is fewer drugs coming into America. That's obviously a very good thing, which will drive the cost of drugs up through the roof, which will price some people out of the drug trade. The problem with that is historically, that has not really gotten people off of drugs who were hooked on drugs. For instance, heroin and things like that, and meth and a lot of these things, their use increased as our prescription drug opioids, however you say that, you know, Vicodin, Percocet, these types of things, as we were giving prescriptions out for that, and people's prescriptions started to run out where they couldn't afford them anymore. Well, these people were already hooked on these drugs, and they went searching for others. Okay, my doctor won't give me a prescription. I bet the shady guy up the street with a tattoo on his face will give me something to give me my fix. It will help. I applaud what they've done. But there is no eradication of the drug cartels without a military invasion of Mexico. Are you willing to do that? I will tell you, I don't think the Trump administration is willing to do that. So we can hurt them, make drugs more expensive, and those are good things, but that's not eradication at all. And the second we get a Democrat back, they rebuild because Democrats love drugs and illegals. That's the way it is. All right, do some more. Jesse, I have always been rather intelligent. I love that. But I have now reached a whole new level. I might even be smarter than the Oracle. I just finished the Federalist Papers course on hillsdale.edu/Jesse. And now I know more about how our government should run than anyone on the planet. Thank you for your recommendation. I will now go on and learn about Romans, and my wisdom and brilliance will be unmatched by anybody. His name is Kenny. I'm telling you, man, it feels good when you sit down and take a course from Hillsdale, which at no cost, it's free, and you finish it and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I know so much more than I used to know. I'm so much wiser, and it didn't cost me anything. It's actually enjoyable. Let Hillsdale teach you something this weekend for free. If you're driving to and fro, kids sports, hillsdale.edu/Jesse. You're sitting around a couch, hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go. We'll talk communism and chicken wings next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do one or two non-political ones, shall we? Jesse, what is the superior wing flavor? In the name of a just, merciful God.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Okay. I've wrestled with this question a lot. I obviously am just a standard buffalo hot wing guy. I love that. I am a dry rub guy, too. If you get a good dry rub, it can be enjoyable. I enjoy a good dry rub. I don't like sweet ones too much. Like a barbecue. I'm not big on a barbecue. You know a wing flavor I adore? Garlic Parmesan. Garlic Parmesan with a good blue cheese. Why are you scoffing at garlic Parmesan, Chris? What? Chris said I need some spice. I know. Listen. Me too. I want some spice too. I'm not criticizing. For once, I'm not criticizing you for needing some spice. If I have to, the real pro order is you go half something spicy like a Cajun or a buffalo, half garlic parm, giving you a little yin, a little yang, little this, little that. I'm a wing connoisseur. You already know I am the master. I already educated you on how to eat flats, that I'm able to tongue punch my way through the flats. And I already taught you that a long time ago, so we don't have to go over it again. But garlic parm, buffalo, or every now and then you can find a place that does a spicy garlic. If you can get it, because you can combine the two, get a spicy garlic. Jesse, given the deep division and mistrust between the political right and left, what steps do you think both sides can take to begin seeing each other not as enemies, but as fellow Americans with different views? No, we're enemies. We are enemies. I'll explain it this way. It's an analogy I've used many times, but I'll use it again. if my wife and I, if she wants to move to the suburbs, she wants a white picket fence and a house in the suburbs, and that's how she wants to live. She still wants to raise our kids. You know, we still want to live kind of the same life, but she wants to live in the suburbs. But I don't want to live in the burbs. I'm going to be in the city. I want to live in the city. I want some kind of an apartment or a townhouse in the city with the kids, of course, and that's the way I want to live my life. We can figure that out. We can work that out. It's a difference, and I'm not even going to act like it's a small difference. It's a difference, but we can work it out. But if she wants to go to the suburbs with a white picket fence, raise the kids, church on Sunday, that kind of life, I want to leave the kids. I want to give the kids up for adoption. I'm not interested in raising children. In fact, I don't even want to hold down a job. I want to pick my favorite band, and I want to get hooked on black tar heroin, and that's how I want to live my life. We can't reconcile that. There's no reconciling that. We are going to have to go our separate ways. Or if we don't go our separate ways, one of us is going to have to completely give up our dream. This is where we are now as a country. Reconciliation between Republicans and Democrats was something that has happened many times throughout history. In small ways, I admit. There have always been different parties. But it has happened many times throughout history. There is no reconciliation with communists, and it's not even something you should desire. Don't let your desire for peace cloud the need for war. You must defeat the people who want to chop body parts off of children. There is no common ground. There's no, we all want the same things. No, we do not. You must completely defeat the people who want to open up your border and bring as many gang members into your community as possible. There is no middle ground. We're not going to meet halfway. Okay, just a few gang members. No, 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 no. That is not humanly possible. And what's more, you shouldn't want that. I know in our feminized way we learn things, especially America's feminized Christianity, which is not real. We are taught that we just should get along with everybody, and everyone just should have a place and a say, and everyone's kind of right. I don't want to take a stance that is flat out wrong. It is not right at all. It's not right as a country. It's not right before God. There is good and there is evil. There is right and there is wrong. And we do not come to the table and negotiate a peace with wrong. Wrong can surrender or wrong can be defeated, but we don't need to get along. No, we need to win, and we need to focus on winning. And what's more, I promise you, they're focused on winning. That's what they care about. They care about winning, so they can then dictate the rules and burn this place down the way they've always wanted to. No, 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 no. No getting along. None of that. All right. Let's talk about old communists. Crappiest country in the world tournament someone wants to talk about. Jane Goodall died, and some guy is happy about that, thinks he's a monster too. We'll discuss those things. Before we discuss those things, let's talk about relief factor. Let's not meet pain halfway, shall we? Why don't we just try to defeat it? Let's not suck it up. Oh, well, my neck's always going to bother me. Let's not suck it up. Let's not take something to mask it for a couple hours. Well, I just need to feel good while I'm at work. Why don't we attack the root of the problem without drugs? Drug-free. Relief Factor allows you to attack the root of the problem drug-free. It is developed by doctors, but it is a supplement. The longer you take it, the better it works, because it will build and build and build in your system. Every day, the pain gets turned down more and more and more until it's gone. 1-800, the number 4 relief, or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. And remember, Tuesday is the championship game. Crappiest country in the world tournament comes to an end. We, you and me, we choose a champion. And don't forget, that champion is going to get a very special care package courtesy of the Jesse Kelly Show. So, Jesse, I'm a fairly new listener, been loving the show. I'm curious, are you the one that comes up with the brought to you buys for the crappiest country in the world tournament? If not you, is it Jewish producer Chris? Trash can barbecues and POS cars and whatnot make me laugh. I am not responsible for virtually any of those. That is Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey, and they're sick people. They're sick, demented people. I only came up with one of those, and I'm not even going to tell you which one it is. I came up with one of those. Those two. Look, I find out the sponsor when you find out the sponsor. Did you know that? This is 100% Chris and the sponsor stuff, totally Chris and Corey. And those two freaks, they actually sent off the sponsors to the voice guy to do the voice so it sounds official. This is what bad people they are. Just really bad people. Jesse, my mother is 95 and recently hospitalized. Her hospital roommate was 85. Knowing they both hate Trump, I said in a visit, "So I understand neither of you like Trump." And her roommate turned and said, "Don't mention that creature's name or I'll be in here another week." Think about all that generation endured. How they fought for their country and had their sons die for this country, and they were proud. How can they side with Democrats? I don't get it. Do you? His name's Michael. All right. So let me get super philosophical here and sound like a motivational speaker, but we all take paths in life. Remember I told you that I used to drink way too much, especially when I got back from Iraq? Had a big problem with alcohol when I got back from Iraq. We're talking the get off work and the first stop I make every day on the way home is at a gas station to grab multiple tall boys of beer and drink them on the way home. I'm not even waiting until I get home. I'm drinking on the way home. That's how bad it was. All right, that's a really, really bad place to be in life, right? So, and by the way, if that's you right now, you'll get out of it. Keep struggling. Keep struggling. We've all been there. You'll get out of it. Anyway, how do you get to that place? Now that I'm long out of it and I look back, how do you get to that place? Obviously, I have a whole list of excuses, all kinds of things I could say. What was this? It was that. It was Iraq. I have all these excuses. Some valid, some not. Doesn't matter. But the truth is, when I was a young man, 16 or so, 17, I discovered beer with my friends, as many young men do. Okay, and again, I'm not judging you wherever you are in your life. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you for any dumb, stupid things you've done or do, because I've done them all, or worse. But if you find yourself at 30, roughly, and you're drinking tall boys on the way home from work to get drunk every single night, you can probably, if you're honest with yourself, trace that back to starting down a path that was a bad path, and you just kept getting further and further and further down that path. So when you're 16 or 17 years old, you're in Montana on the weekends, hey, somebody grab a keg. Let's get all the boys together, maybe get some dimes if we're lucky. Let's go to the mountains. We'll go camping. Let's have a big keg party, drink beer all weekend long. All right, that's one way to live your life. It's fine, but I did it. But that snowballs into more and snowballs into more and snowballs into more and more and more and more and more. And then eventually, like I said, you find yourself getting hammered on the way home because you can't even wait till you walk in the door and drop your keys. Bad place to be in life. Older communists shock normal people. I'll tell you, they still shock me because I didn't have any grandparents, really any older people in my life who were this way. When I picture older people, I picture my grandpa Hank. He was a farmer, used to be Amish, walked away from that, but still really close to all of his Amish family, a farmer, gigantic hands, just like mine, gigantic hands, loved his wife, raised wonderful kids on a farm, nicest freaking guy in the world, big barrel laughs, had his stuff together financially, and that's how I picture older people. That's how I picture older people, the grandpa that's nice. My grandma Helen, his wife, you know, you walk in the door and she's got homemade applesauce. She just got out of her garden. She's done quilting. That's how I picture older people. But why are they that way? Those paths started for them years and years and years ago, and soon you end up as the old woman who makes applesauce for her grandkids and gives them a quilt they don't want at Christmas time. That's how I picture old people, because that was my experience with older people. But there are people who start walking down the road of communism, even if they don't know it. They read the New York Times. They watch NBC. Their friends are communists. When they're 30, 40, maybe they started when they were 20. Now picture this. You think they should be the saintly World War II generation at 95, but what if they just spent 75 years in communist indoctrination? That person is more warped than the 20-year-old in communist who just discovered communism with her lesbian friends. We like to think that's the most mentally deranged, radicalized communist there is, but she just got hooked on booze yesterday. Your grandmother's been hooked on booze for 75 years. Who's further down the path? We travel down paths in life. Good paths and bad paths, by the way. I don't mean to make them all dark, right? We talk about working out a lot. Not that I'm some workout freak or something like that, but maybe you got into sports when you were younger, or your parents were into sports and working out, and maybe that's just always been part of your life. You're always going to go for a jog. You're going to go to the gym. You're going to do this. Well, at 40, 50 years old, 60 years old, you are going to be in such a better place health-wise because you've spent years going down that path, traveling down a good path where it gets better and better and better and better and better. We all make these choices in life on where our paths are going to be, on what paths we're going to take, and it gets a lot better or it gets a lot worse. You're never stationary. Older Democrats today, older ones, are as brain dead, radicalized, sick and evil and broken as the 18-year-old you see on college campus who doesn't know anything, simply because they've been traveling down the wrong path their entire lives. And oftentimes, if you travel down that path for long enough, you can't get out. You're so far down. You're so far gone mentally. You are so broken mentally. Remember that old woman we've played the audio cut of several times before? I find it to be so insanely sad. An old woman, again, the age my grandma was when she used to feed me applesauce and put a quilt on me when I stayed overnight at grandma's house. That's how I picture women who are this age. But my grandma took one path. This lady took a different one.
I'm just so scared. I'm 74 years old. I worry about everything. I just am so scared and upset, and I don't understand why people voted for this person.
74 years old, broken. Because that woman, I promise she didn't discover the Democrat Party yesterday. She spent decades traveling down that path. Now there she is, shattered. Weird. And it's sad. Almost as sad as not having everywhere pants. And look, ladies, I need to explain something. I'm a dude. So comfortable clothes that I can wear that are presentable, it's a rare gem for me. Cozy Earth has things for you, too. They are more than just the softest, best sheets in the world and those little fluffy blankets. Aub has one of these blankets they have. What is this thing called? Like the bubble blanket or something? I don't know. Aub was ranting and raving about it last night. I got home from work and she's in this gigantic plushy thing on the couch. This is the best stuff ever. Ladies, they have all kinds of stuff for you. Apparel and these, you know, healthy face creams and this natural stuff that is the most comfortable stuff you've ever worn in your life. You want to be a robe guy? Want to get some everywhere pants, some face creams, some blankets? Cozy Earth is your first stop for all this stuff. Cozy Earth, it's your home. It's what it is. Up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Final segment on a fantastic Friday. If you miss me, I don't blame you. We'll be back on Monday. Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com is the email address. Next week, no ifs, no ands, no buts. The Siege of Malta history lesson is coming, and I'm warning you right now, it could very well be Monday. It's going to depend on how newsy Monday is. You know, if there's big, gigantic stories, I'm going to have to tackle those, and I can't. But my tentative plan, I'm not committing this to you, my tentative plan is hour two after Medal of Honor Monday, we completely sidetrack the show and we do some Siege of Malta. What, Chris? Why are you making that face? Why can't I? What? I can't do things I love? What? I do not make plans that fall through. I am not bound. I have to serve the people, Chris. Unlike you who only serve yourself, I have to care about people. And if there's something big, I have to talk about it. Anyway, that is probably coming Monday. Speaking of Chris, Chris asked why lasagna always sucks. He said it shouldn't because the ingredients are all good. You got your pasta, your sauce, and everything else. Let me explain why lasagna usually sucks. I know there are exceptions. I know. Every woman is offended, and she's emailing in her lasagna recipe as we speak. Just stay with me. Here's why lasagna generally sucks, even though the ingredients are generally good. One. Ricotta cheese is disgusting. At least the ricotta cheese, that clumpy, nasty stuff that's like soap that we normally get in lasagna here. I realize there's good, more kind of liquidy, pure ricotta that's better, but our garbage ricotta is garbage. So let's set that aside. Food, as I've explained so many times, it's all about the ratios. It's all about the proportion, and that's what lasagna gets wrong. You know, we'll make this about pizza. What makes or breaks a good pizza? You could argue anything. Is it the crust? Is it the sauce? I would usually say it's a sauce. Is it the cheese or the pepperoni or the sausage or whatever? All those things matter, but a truly great pizza has the proper proportion of all of them. This is where cheesesteaks are another example. Guys will screw up cheesesteaks because I need it with 10. Can I get 3 times the meat? I like meat too. That screws up the bread to meat to cheese to onions to Jap ratio. It's all screwed up. Lasagna has the ingredients, the meats and the cheeses and the pastas, but the ratios are all wrong, so it doesn't work. It's all about the proper proportion of things, right? All about, not too hot, not too cold. Jesse, Charlie's assassination and subsequential forgiveness by Erica Kirk of that commie was a game changer for me personally. I've never seen anything like witnessing by our leaders at Charlie's memorial service. It was incredible. with my renewed interest in the New Testament, haha, in your face, Chris, I'm reading it with your messaging in my head, having been listening to you since Fox News Whack Tucker. My question is this: how can we tie your anti-communist messaging to the Bible in a way that brings more anti-communists to a spiritual reality, as well as more spiritual people to realize the threat of communism? I agree, communism's our greatest threat, so on and so forth. He says his name is Tom. You don't have to tie in something that's already tied. It's already tied. Right? It is already tied. I'll use a sports analogy here. If you are somebody who loves football, or you love lifting weights, if you love lifting weights, then inevitably, that's going to make you better at football because you're getting stronger. Or maybe you just love football, but you're out there, it's the push-ups and the running, and you're getting stronger, you're also going to get better at lifting weights. You are moving not just in the same direction. You're not moving parallel. It's like you are moving toward each other at an angle, and at some point in time, you're going to meet. There is evil. And because there is evil, you're seeing it all the time, everywhere. Because there is evil, that must mean there is good. There are great things happening in the country right now. Absolutely awesome things happening in the country. This guy, though, struggling. Jesse, I know you've seen Jane Goodall died on Wednesday. When I saw the news, my inner voice laughed and said, "You wanted less humans on Earth, you witch." She's that lady who talked about reducing the population by 90% and things like that. What kind of monster am I? As long as I can remember, I've always not celebrated, but felt no sorrow at all when a commie or member of the opposition has died. I try to be a good person, but I can't help feeling relieved when they die. What kind of a monster am I? You're not a monster. You're a human being. And if you have these thoughts, that's generally not great, but don't voice them. I mean, you can always email me. I'm fine. I'm glad you emailed me. Just keep it to yourself. A great rule is never, ever, 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 ever celebrate when someone dies. Maybe if a terrorist dies or something like that, you can stand up and cheer. Look, Jane Goodall is paying the price for that now. If anything, feel sorry. Feel sorry. All right. But yeah, never celebrate, and definitely don't do it publicly when someone dies. Now, go soak up every minute of your weekend and enjoy yourself. All right. I will talk to you again on Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.